and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Jason Rawlings, our missionary to Canada. Let's tune in now for Jason's message.
Good morning. Wanted to do a little more of a formal introduction to Jason Rawlings. He is going to be, or he and Jennifer are going to be our missionaries in Canada. Guelph, Canada? Am I saying that right? Is it even close? Close? Okay. We'll all have to practice that. I'm sorry. Jason and Jennifer and Amelia moved to Wichita Falls yesterday, so they are brand new here. We would like to give the congregation an opportunity for the next 6 weeks while they're here to get to know them and let them get to know us. We will have a sign-up sheet. It's going to be placed on the table out in our foyer at the missionary table. If you would, sign up on that, put your name on it, put your phone number on that, put the time or the general time, breakfast, lunch, dinner, movie, whatever, and your phone number so that you can be contacted and we can keep their time organized and not any large gaps. Without them knowing it, it's fine for them to have a gap or two and kind of have a breath, but we would like them to have every opportunity to get to know us. Also, during the time that they're here, Jason will be spending a lot of time up at the building working with the office here. You can come up here and visit some. So take that opportunity also. Wanted to let you know that Jason and Jennifer graduated from Sunset International Bible Institute in 2013. While they were there, they met their team members, the Leadbetters. They will be going with them to Canada to work. At some point while they are here in the 6 weeks, the Leadbetters will also visit with us. We'll have an opportunity to get to know them a little bit. They will just be here probably just a day or two, so don't know how much opportunity, but while they are here visiting, you know, I would encourage you to talk to them, get to know them. Jason and Jennifer both graduated from Sunset in 2013. After that, Jason spent a year working with the Sunset Church of Christ, working closely with the minister team, while Jennifer worked in the children's program. Just tell you a little bit about them, and I imagine that as time goes on, we'll get to know a little more about them. Jason was born and raised in Maine, where for several generations his family has built and ministered to the Church of Christ there in Farmington. Jennifer was raised in a military home, moving often, as a lot of us would know what that means in a military home. After college, she had a very successful banking career, and in 2012, they had the great addition, Amelia. And I know that has been a blessing for their family. And at this time, I would like to turn this over to Jason and let him tell us a little bit more about his plans and tell us about the Gospels.
Good morning. Before we get started, my family would like to extend a big, huge thank you for your interest in us as a family, and also your interest in spreading the gospel not only to the world, but to where we're going, to Guelph, Canada. And it's pronounced Guelph, G-U-E-L-P-H, Guelph. Everybody say it with me, Guelph. Good, you sound good. So today, I want to give you just kind of an overview of what we're going to do in Canada, but I'm going to intertwine it with some different things, and I hope that you guys can catch the vision that we have shared as a team and as a family about spreading the gospel in Canada. So before we get started, though, there's something at the core of all of us that drives us to do something or to go somewhere, and it keeps our focus on that one thing. Jesus' mission for his apostles, for instance, summed up nicely in Matthew 28 at the end of the chapter, to go therefore into all the world, baptizing all the nations, teaching them to observe all the commandments, everything that I have taught you. So Jesus gave his apostles a mission, something to focus on, to keep their eyes fixed on. We all understand this is our mission as well. This is what God has commissioned for all of us to do as followers of Christ. But sometimes there is a need to be more specific. Sometimes there is a need to break that down to kind of make it more personal to a region, to a family, to an organization, or even an individual. 10th and Broad, for instance, has a mission statement. Does everybody know what that statement is? I didn't think so. So here it is. The 10th and Broad Church of Christ is committed to drawing people to an authentic relationship with Christ so that all may experience and share his love. I found that on the website. Pretty simple. It's short enough where everybody can understand it. And it's something that this church in Wichita Falls keeps their eyes focused on as their mission in reaching the world. This mission statement is at the core of what this church family does. While God's mission is our mission, there's a need. As I just said, there is a need to narrow the focus. And today, I want to give you our vision, our mission, and our core values. And through that, I'm going to intertwine and let you see what our strategy is and who we are as a family and as a team. But first, can I get the next slide? These are the Ledbetters. They're a couple that we met at SIBI, and they're the second half of our team. You'll meet them sometime. We're not sure yet. But the next slide also is my family. Amelia is 2.5 years old, and Jennifer and I have been married for 6 years. And I bet you're asking why we chose Canada. What's so unique about Canada? So as I tell the story, it can be very long. So I'm gonna break it down into a small little phrase. We had a friend at SIBI that kind of steered us toward the Southern Ontario region. He's from Ottawa, and decided that maybe we should take a trip as a team and check out Canada. So we went to Southern Ontario around the Toronto area, and we stopped by the mall and had some dinner one night. And we ordered and sat down, and I looked around, and we were the only Caucasian people there. And that prompted a ton of discussions within ourselves and within our team to say, hey, we can reach the world without traveling halfway around the world. The world is right here. It's in our backyard. It was an amazing turn of events through the next few years that got us to where we are now, going to Guelph, Ontario, Canada. Next slide, please. The top of the slide is our mission. 6 words. Know God, be family, and grow community. We believe that when we know God, the vertical relationship, that is an outgrowth that pours out to our horizontal relationships, and we can create a family atmosphere, and that then pours out into the community. That's our mission statement, 6 words, and that's what we're going to keep our eyes focused on. Our vision below it is that we envision a network of believers with Christ-like leaders actively pursuing relationship with God, family, and their community in a way that says every person matters and everybody's involved. We connect and share our lives through the Word of God and through active service in order to make disciples everywhere we go in the world. That's our vision. That's going to help us to carry out our mission. Next slide, please. These are our core values. And I'm going to go through them one by one. There are seven of them. Our core value number one, biblical authority. We believe this is a better way to do life. We will present God's word with compassion and honesty, and we recognize its authority and our need to adjust to it. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, God's word became flesh, and that's the only authority we need. And we don't even pretend that we've arrived. Most Canadians in my generation have grown up in a pluralistic society, more so than the United States. What that means is people from all over the world coming into the country, and one person's religion is just as good as another. But the reality is that the Bible has the authority, and it tells us that the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. There's only 1 in 5,000 people are members of the Church of Christ in Canada. 1 in 5,000. In the United States, it's 1 in every 260. This pluralistic society, next slide, please. The pluralistic society comes from different cities that we call gateway cities. Toronto is one of the most culturally diverse cities in the whole world. Since the beginning of the 2000s, about 250,000 immigrants have poured into the Toronto area every year. 250,000 people a year. This is a gateway city, and it's called that because it's really an open door to the world. If we teach someone that is from Vietnam, that has come from Vietnam, and we teach them the gospel, and they go home, what are they going to do? They're naturally going to want to present the gospel to their families and to their friends and to tell them what they've learned, that Jesus Christ has changed their lives. Our strategy is to be intentional and to walk alongside new people, people that have never heard the gospel, to disciple them, to patiently work with them to achieve this end. We've all gone through the training, as David said, at SIBI, and we have the skills necessary in Christian apologetics, defending the Bible, defending Jesus Christ as Lord, to show these people that have come from all over the world that the Bible, the Word of God, is the only authority. And that we learn about Jesus Christ through the Word, and He's the only one to God. Next slide, please. Core value number two, promote family. We call this home life. We support the spiritual nurture of the family as one of God's dynamic means to demonstrate and grow loyalty to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul tells Timothy to remember the faith that was in his grandmother and in his mother. There's a godly family there. In Titus chapter 2, 1 through 10, Paul goes through a list of things that older men ought to teach the younger men and older women ought to teach the younger women. So, we believe that the home is probably the best and the earliest place that one catches on to the faith in Jesus Christ. There's a serious erosion of the family, not only in this country, but around the world. Do you agree? There's a serious erosion of the family. And so we recognize this, and we want to be sure to portray the fact that we believe the home to be the best place to teach your children who God is. The Ledbetters and Jennifer at SIBI have gone through the youth and family track, and they've learned quite a lot. They learned different things like creating a curriculum and forming that based on the people you're teaching. They've learned a lot about the family and how family and faith commingle and interact. Jen has a real desire to teach children, to get down on their level and show them, not only teach, but to show them what faith is and who Jesus Christ is. And while she was at the preschool at Sunset, they didn't have a curriculum for the age that she was teaching that was up to date. So she wrote one herself. The fruit of the Spirit. She used the Word of God to teach children about the fruit of the Spirit and about good manners and good qualities. So in Guelph, there's also a huge latchkey kid population. Children whose parents are working still after they get out of school. An after-school program would be amazing there. And Jennifer has talked about that, and she really desires to have something like that to give to the kids in the community. Next slide, please. In Luke chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Your Bibles are your devices. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. This is the parable of the sower. The Bible says, "And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. So if you look at this parable, Jesus says good soil produces good seed. He talks about the seed as being the gospel or the word of God. And the sower does not do anything to change the seed. You notice he just sows. And he doesn't even focus on the good soil. He sows generously everywhere. Because he knows that even if there is an ounce of good soil among the seed or the rock or the path, that it's going to sprout. And so he wants to spread the gospel as much as he can. So he throws the seed everywhere he can. And we believe that in the home is the perfect place to sow the seed and to teach your children to do the same thing. Next slide, please. Number 3, safe environments. We want people to come as you are. We aren't in the business of changing people. Rather, we embrace our role as creating a space where people can work out their stuff with Jesus. Titus 3, the beginning of the chapter, says to remind people how to live because, remember, you used to be like them. We've all been there. We've all had to work out our stuff with Jesus. Generally, Canadians are seen as standoffish, especially by Americans. And we are aware, we've done the research as much as we possibly can to understand culturally how Canadians relate to each other. And we have this core value of creating a place that doesn't force religion in anyone's face. But we want to create a place where people can know that they can come and talk to us, where they can come and be who they are and understand that they can work out whatever they've got going on with us. See, Jennifer and I both have experienced church families where there wasn't a safe environment. And those experiences have helped shape and mold our thinking on how we can make this safe environment possible. I'm an extremely patient person, sometimes to a fault. And I will always give someone a second chance. Jen is someone who can look at somebody, spend a few minutes with them, and can help them see. She can help them see and maybe help them understand that there are solutions to challenges in their lives. There are solutions to different things they're going through. Through Jesus Christ, through His Word, that the Word of God can help change their lives. Next slide, please. Real relationships. Know and be known. Not real relationships, real relationship. We embrace the truth that no matter what disconnected you from God, Jesus is the only way to reconnect with Him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "You were created for good works that were prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." You see, Romans chapter 6 talks about a changed life, a baptized life, and what it means to walk as a new creation. Canadians over the past few years, over the past decades, have grown tired of Christian tradition and going to church just to go to church. I think some of us are tired of that as well. They desire a relationship with the Maker, a real, living, active relationship with the One that created them. George Barna, a few years ago, did a study on spiritual conversations. Who's interested and who's not? And the statistic came up that 50% of people, anywhere you go in the world, are interested in spiritual conversations. That covered anyone from 1 to 100. 50% of people are interested in spiritual conversations. And we tested this out. I took a group, or Jennifer and I took a group to Maine for a short-term mission. And we went to the mall one afternoon and we tried this out. How many people are interested? We got about 49% of the people that we spoke to were interested in talking with us about spiritual things. These two core values, number 3 and number 4, are really the two driving factors for millennials, my generation, in coming to church and staying in church. Because we see and have experienced the need for safe environments as well as real relationships with God, these are things that we will focus on specifically. Next slide, please. Our target demographic, our generation, people that we are most like, people that we understand best, people that are the most connected generation in history. And if we reach the people that we are most like, they will then reach people that they know the best. Their grandparents, their nieces and nephews, their parents, whoever it is. Next slide. Authentic community, we call this Me Too, will pursue truth together as the best opportunity for truly living out and applying that truth. Acts chapter 2, the end of the chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and to breaking bread. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And by the time you get to the end of the chapter, people were selling all of their possessions and had everything in common. The same thing happens in Acts chapter 4, the end of that chapter. People didn't count their things as theirs. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. You see, the community, the Christian community, is the best place for people to feel welcomed, like they are a part of something. Canadians, because of their past religious history, generally aren't interested in conversion conversations. They don't want to feel used for your religious purposes. They want to know that you actually care about them. They want to know that you love them. Jennifer and I take an approach to relationships where they are highly valued. We want to know you. We want you to know us. We're an open book. And we believe that we're going to carry that to Canada and show the people there as well that we want to know you. We want you to know us. We want to use our relationships as something as utmost importance, as was talked about in Bible class this morning. Jesus is more interested that we reconcile our relationships than sacrificing on the altar. Next slide, please. Gifted service. We call this purpose and personality. We aim to use our unique talents to build one another up and serve the community. Galatians 5:13 says, "It was for freedom that you were set free. Now don't use your freedom as a means for personal gain, but to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ." Canadians are a people that love, they care about the world. What's going on in the world, their environment, how they take care of their environment, and they really care about their neighborhoods, and they care about each other. We believe that this purpose and this personality of Guelph, Ontario, a very active community, we can use that as a springboard to help them see that they can use their God-given talents for something greater than themselves, for something greater than their community, for God, for the kingdom. Next slide, please. So what we're talking about really is a grassroots movement. Something that's not a pop-up church, that's a mega church to begin with. We're talking about something that's small, that starts with relationships, and we want people to know that their unique individuality can make someone who's unreceptive to me receptive to them to hear the gospel. We want people to understand that we all have a unique sphere of influence. We all have people that we know better than others. And people can present the gospel. They can use their talents easily with the people that they know, starting at home. Jen has strong reasoning skills. And she uses them a lot to help people reason through what's going on. She uses them on me a lot, and I appreciate it, because sometimes I'm unreasonable. But she can help people talk through those kinds of things, and she uses that for the kingdom. I love to teach. I love getting up and showing people what's in the Word of God and helping them understand, and even teaching life skills. And everyone here has a God-given ability. And everyone that we go to in Canada has a God-given ability. And we want to help show them to use that for God's glory and for God's kingdom. Next slide, please. Finally, relational evangelism, show and tell. We will live our lives in a way that introduces the community to the love of Christ, giving them a chance to hear the message and decide for themselves. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, says, "Let your light so shine so that men may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven." Now, this sounds a little bit like friendship evangelism. Anybody ever heard of that? It was kind of a big thing years ago. And it kind of got a bad rep because you would approach someone and start a friendship and maybe someday approach them about having a Bible study. Well, what we're talking about is something a little bit differently. We want to create relationships with people who are already interested. And if we find out that they're not, we don't waste our time. Yes, we can have a relationship. We can have a friendship, knowing that God's word probably is not going to be presented yet. Jesus said the same thing to his apostles when he sent them out. He said, if the people in the town hear your words, give them a blessing. But if they don't, leave the town and wipe the dust off your feet. Don't waste your time on people who aren't interested. Door knocking doesn't really work in Canada. We've tried it. Heard of people who've tried it. So we're talking about going to Walmart, going to the post office. Wherever we go, we are committed to speaking spiritual truth into people's lives as an everyday conversation. Next slide, please. We want to teach people that they have a responsibility to sow as well. That this whole mission does not hang on the missionaries. It doesn't hang on me or Jen or Jonathan or Amaryllis. It hangs on each and every one of us. We have a personal responsibility to preach or teach or speak spiritual truth into people's lives. And we're committed to that. Jesus, in John chapter 4, he speaks to the woman at the well. He breaks a lot of rules in doing that. Speaking to a Samaritan, speaking to a woman, speaking to a divorced woman. Those are three really bad Jewish cultural barriers that he crossed, but he did it anyway because everybody deserves to hear the gospel. So Jesus tells the woman that there's coming a day when we're not going to worship on this mountain or that mountain, but you're going to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. And you can do that anywhere. So she runs into the city and she tells everybody that's there, there's a man out there who told me everything that I ever did. And what happens? They all come rushing out of the city to see who this man is. And they stay and they hear and they listen and their lives are changed. She naturally, after hearing Jesus speak to her, goes and tells the people that she knows. Next slide, please. Next slide. So we're committed as a team to disciple. If we disciple just one person a year, just one person, if we accurately and slowly teach them about God and about all the things that He ever commanded, we can reach four people in 10 years can reach 5,000 people. That's if each one of us teaches one a year, and then we teach them to teach one a year, and they teach them to teach one a year. It's exponential growth. So what happens in 15 years? We can reach 160,000 if you've done the math. That's a community, a city larger than the size of Guelph. Guelph is 120,000. Exponential growth if we accurately and we slowly teach and disciple. Next slide, please. And the time is now. Canada is a peaceful nation. It's been peaceful for a long time. The soil is ready. People are ready to hear. People are flowing into this part of the country, this part of the province, and there's going to be growth. There's going to be a lot of growth, a lot of people who have never heard the gospel. So that's why Canada. That's why Guelph, Ontario. Next slide. Go to the next slide. So today, I hope you realize that Canada's ready. The Rollins are ready to go to Canada. We've been planning for 3.5 years. The Ledbetters are ready to go to Canada. And we're ready to work for you. And we thank you for being who you are, for being a church involved in the world, for being a church who loves to spread the gospel. And you're going to Canada through us. Thank you.